into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Right, we're going to talk with the Ireland rugby captain Ciara Griffin in just a moment, as the news obviously that the Women's Six Nations has been postponed. I want to play you this clip first though. It's Kathleen McNamee from ESPN. She was on OTBAM this morning talking about how women's sport in particular has been damaged by the pandemic. She's talking here in particular about the Six Nations. Have a look.
People have been calling for the Women's Six Nations to be separate to the men's for a long time, because a lot of the time, like, there's clashes of times. There's, if you have a choice between going to see, like, Ireland and England in Twickenham or Ireland and England in some side pitch, you know where most people are going to go, whereas this does give them an opportunity to make it a headline event and even to attract stuff. Like, the tournament has no sponsorship at the moment, you know. Would separating it from the men's, is this an opportunity for them to create a greater tournament? I don't know. I hope that's what they're thinking, but I don't know if that's what it is. And I think when you follow women's sports and you see postponements and cancellations, you get concerned, because you, a lot of the time when that happens, the next step is it just being voided completely. Whereas a lot of the time in men's sport, when you see things being postponed, you're like, ah, they'll do whatever they can to get it back. So I think when I tweeted that yesterday about those indefinite postponements, that's what concerns me, when they're not saying this is when we'll come back, or like, this is our plan for making sure that we have a tournament and that these players get to do what they love and what is their living, basically.
Yeah, Ciara Griffin, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you keeping, Ger?
Yeah, good. How concerned are you about whether or not we might actually have a Six Nations this year?
Yeah, I suppose it is a concern, but we've been told that it will take place either in late spring or early summer. So we're going with that, and we're still training for it. So that's our plan. I suppose we can only control what we can control, which is our training and our preparation. So, we're hoping that we're planning that it's still going ahead.
It's an interesting point that Kathleen's making there, and I suppose I've seen it made elsewhere as well, that maybe there's an opportunity here for the women's game to come out from under the shadow of the men's game and have a separate tournament that's at a separate time of the year. It can feel sometimes on those big rugby weekends that the Friday night game is the underage game and that's on TV, guaranteed, and then the men's game is on, guaranteed, and then you're kind of bouncing around to see where the women's game is going to be. It's always at different times. Is there an opportunity maybe to sit back and actually go, perhaps the Women's Six Nations could be divorced from the men's?
I suppose, look, that's what they probably will try it now to see how it goes on a separate date. And as you said, look, it will be prime time viewing then for our games. Don't be any clashes, like you were saying, you know, at different times, different venues. So it could be a positive thing for us as well. It could increase coverage. You know, we want to increase coverage of the women's game and women's sport. So this could be used, I suppose, to accelerate that as well.
It's a very uncertain time for you guys with the planning for the World Cup coming up. No, you're not qualified just yet. Some of the games in the Six Nations are supposed to double. We're not quite sure exactly what the format's going to be or how you end up qualifying at the moment. How much clarity can you bring to that for us?
I wish I could bring a lot of clarity. We're kind of the same boat. I think World Rugby at the moment, they're looking at different options for qualifiers. As you said, we still have to qualify. They're meant to happen in September. They got pushed to December, and unfortunately with COVID, they got pushed again. So we're just waiting to hear what the fixtures will be. So at the moment, we've camped this weekend now, so we're just still in preparation for that and hoping to get an updated schedule then. But we've no real information at the moment. So we're just training away.
Just in terms of qualification for the World Cup, what do you need to do to get in?
We have to win. I think we have to win all our matches. There'll be two matches at the moment. With the current setup, there'll be two matches. You've got to win both. Now, depending if they change the structure with the timings and everything, the short lack of time, we're not sure yet. But at the moment, you have to beat all your, obviously all your opposition to tap the tap it.
And the likelihood is that that will be Scotland and Italy.
Scotland, Italy, in either Spain or Russia. Spain and Russia have to play the European repechage still. And then we'll all be in a draw together then, those four teams.
Okay. And is the, in terms of the hierarchy and the pecking order in the women's game, would Spain and Russia be of a similar standard to the teams in the Six Nations, or are they a little bit below still?
I suppose they've a lot of sevens players. So they would have they'd be a quite expensive rugby, quite fast playing as well. So they wouldn't get as much game time in terms of the Six Nations teams, I suppose, in regular competition. But again, that could be, that could be tricky as well, and not knowing your opposition either. But I'd say that would be a good game between Spain and Russia.
Okay. Kira, the difficulty with the Ireland team in particular is that you're not full-time professionals. You guys all have jobs. So it's not like you can bubble for 14 days, or you can quarantine for 14 days and then bubble as a large group and then kind of travel, not quite with impunity, but at least knowing that you've done your best to be biosecure and all these new words that we've learned over the last 18 months or so. It feels like 18 months, it's only been 9. But you know what I mean? And that's where the added wrinkle comes in, I suppose, with fixtures in particular.
Yeah, like you hit the nail on the head there. It is tricky. Like, we're all professional. Like, I'm teaching myself. So, you know, you're leaving the classroom, going into the elite setup, and then go back into the classroom. And there is obviously bubbling protocol there. Now, I must say, there are a few that are working with government for different guidelines. And I know they are in talks at the moment for other exemptions or travel exemptions, depending on the process for the World Cup qualifiers and Six Nations. But like you said, it is an added, I suppose, an added headache or an added bit of stress. But we are, as a group, we're very vigilant. You know, we are very conscious of everything, like trying to reduce our contacts outside of camps, which can be really tricky, because everyone's doing it, you know. So we're just really cautious of that and making sure it's like a very secure setting. And we're tested weekly as well, leading into camps. So we know it's a secure setting when we're training, and then we're tested after again. But, you know, there is protocol there to give us some bit of peace of mind as well.
Because that's essentially what happened with the French game last year. At one point it looked like France were going to come over here. You guys weren't allowed to travel. Who stopped you traveling? Was it the French stopped you traveling, or was it the Irish government stopped you traveling at that stage?
It was just the government protocol. Unfortunately, you have to have the 2-week quarantine. And as I said, look, we were all work professionals, and not everyone was in the position to quarantine for 2 weeks at work. So that pushed within France. They show great sportsmanship, so they travel over. But unfortunately, there was a COVID outbreak in the camp, and so it just shows how quickly it can spread within a camp, you know, in the close settings.
Yeah, and look at that. And I mean, it feels like it's years ago now, but that's actually about six months ago when that happened, and that was the end of the opportunity to finish off the last Six Nations. So, we all know exactly where we are in the scenario at the moment. What's that like for you guys as a team, watching the news and watching the figures and then going off to train?
Yeah, look, I think like every person in this country, like, you know, you watch the figures every day, you wait to see what pops up on your phone, you know, to see the numbers, daily figures. It is frightening, the numbers at the moment. But I think what we were like, we'd camp last weekend as well. It was our first camp post-Christmas. And I think just what we realised up there was just how fortunate we were to get together as a group, to train, to be able to train as a group. Obviously, look, it was a smaller group. A lot of social distancing protocols involved. But we were just delighted to get a rugby ball, to be passing, to be running on the pitch. It can be stressful. People are anxious about it. But on the flip side, we had that conversation. We were saying we are just so fortunate to be here, to be training, to get to be in the position to train. So I think that's why, as a group, we're just doing so much outside of it to make sure, you know, we keep getting the opportunities to train, just in terms of our behaviours and everything off the pitch.
I suppose it's a double-edged sword, really. You do feel grateful, but at the same time, you're like, am I actually exposing myself to greater risk by being involved? And I know you follow all the protocols, but with the new UK variant, you've seen how entire towns, 1 in 17 people in Belmullet, all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, no one's going to blame somebody if they accidentally pick it up. So you've got that constant anxiety, and at the same time, the look at us, we're able to train.
Yeah, literally, it is a double-edged sword. You know, one hand, you're nervous, you're anxious, and the other hand, you're just thrilled, delighted to be up there training. So, you know, it balances out. But like you said, it is still a worry, and that's why I think just everyone has to be extra cautious in these times.
How have you worked on your own skills while this whole thing has been happening?
Yeah, look, I'm very fortunate. I've a bit of a gym at home, so I've been training away there myself, keeping me sane. So practicing just there on fitness, strength. Now I must say, Orla Curran, our SNC, has been phenomenal. If anyone deserves an award for thinking outside the box, making sure we're training and still getting good numbers, it's her. She's just pushing us here, pushing us on our own. Either like if you have gym equipment, she'll make up sessions for gym equipment, you know, or she'll keep changing up the running sessions and the conditioning sessions. So it's been really great that way, and that getting that time to build up, I suppose, your cardio bank, to build up your speed endurance, work on speed work. That's a big one I've been trying to work on, trying to get some bit faster if it's ever possible. But things like that, and just, you know, basic skills, obviously it's hard on your own. But look, my husband Damien, he'll often go training with me as well, or, you know, he'll hold a tackle pad or pass a ball. So I suppose just thinking outside the box as well. And a lot of girls there, I think everyone has bought a rebound ball at this stage for lockdown to practice their passing. So yeah, there's plenty of passing and plenty of speed work being done.
Are you using Seesaw at the moment?
I am. I'm a teacher. I'm actually using Microsoft Teams.
Right.
So it's good now. I must say we're in a much better position, say, this time around than the first time. We were locked down, obviously. We had the kids prepared. We did computers, say, for a week, for an hour once a week in school, just to get them prepared in case there ever was anything like this happened. So I'm just using Microsoft Teams. So, you know, I'm recording videos every day and just putting them up, and the kids are working away then with different materials, and then I'm there just to correct it, or, you know, I'm at the end of an email or the end of a chat.
Is that primary or secondary?
Primary. I've teaching second class in the CBS primary in Tralee.
Right.
So it's good. It's definitely outside my, you know, you're thinking outside the box, that's for sure. Getting into different technology. But look, it's a good challenge as well. And so we're very fortunate that we're in a position that we can still teach, even though it's from a distance. I know it's different, it's not the same, and it's quite tricky for kids at the moment with everything that's going on. But I suppose at least with this, it's a few hours a day where it's, you know, it's somewhat normal. They see their teacher on the screen, they're able, you know, things like that. So trying to keep some bit of normality in the current situation.
Yeah, look, the adaptation, I think, has been unbelievable. And it's funny how quickly the kids seem to have adapted to it as well. Like, pre this version of lockdown, one of my kids at one point had spoken about how exciting it was because they actually got up to walk around the class one of the days, and we were like, oh my god, this is kind of heartbreaking. And now they're all back looking at each other through screens, and that's even worse. So that, you know, I think a lot of people have newfound respect, I hope, for the teaching profession and the work they do when they're trying to teach their own kids at the moment.
Yeah, it is. Look, I must say, like you said, kids have just, they've done so well in this. They I don't know, like, you have to commend their behaviors. Like, they've just conditioned themselves to, you know, just doing the new protocol, like staying in their pods, staying in their bubbles, which is quite hard for young kids. You know, when you see your friend, you just run up to them, give them a hug. But they've been so good. And even like with the online learning, the online work, their engagement has been excellent. So I'm just saying, fair play to them. I hope they enjoy their 2 days off now over the weekend from all their work this week.
And when are you next back in camp? And when do you next expect to play a match?
I'm actually going up the camp after this. I'm hitting the road. We are training tomorrow and Sunday. So we have 2 days up in Dublin in the HBC.
And will there be any full contact in the middle of that, just so you all actually get to remember what it's like?
We did actually contact last weekend. So the body is back, back to normality with a bang, literally. So no, it was grand. It's like you said, it's as you said, it's some bit of normality. So it's great to be able to play it and to do it. So I suppose there'll be more of it now this weekend. We'll get the plan when we're up there. The plan is a gym session in the morning and then a pitch session, a heavy pitch session in the evening, and then two sessions on Sunday.
All right. Well, listen, wish you the very best of luck with that. And thanks very much for making the time for us ahead of your trip up to the training session. And look, we just want to see the team play again. I guess you guys must feel the same thing.
Exactly. We just want to get out there and wear a jersey, do you know yourself, and get out and play, cross that whitewash, hear the anthems and just play. We're preparing the best we can. So when that time comes, we'll be champing at the bit. So that's all we can focus on at the moment.
Kira, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers, Jer. Thank you.
Take care.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team.
Team of Us. Everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.